You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on April 27th, 2023. And this is the last episode for the month of April, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Rather than focusing on just one story or topic, we're going to be briefly covering a few different stories from the news this month. So this week we're talking about a survey indicating that believers in God are the happiest people in the U.S. Also, the declining number of born-again Christians who believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. And also, we'll talk about a discovery of a fragment of a translation of the Gospel of Matthew from the 3rd century. For links to the stories we're talking about, as well as other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/042723. Now for our stories this week. First story, Americans who believe in God are the happiest people in the U.S. From Christian Headlines, the happiest people in America believe in God and value close relationships, according to a new Wall Street Journal NORC survey. The poll found that only 12% of Americans describe themselves as very happy, the lowest percentage ever recorded in the survey, which dates to 1972. More than half, 56%, rate themselves as pretty happy, while 30% say they are not too happy. A handful of strong beliefs separate those who are very happy from the rest of Americans. An overwhelming majority of very happy people, 68%, say belief in God is very important to them. That's a significantly higher percentage than among the pretty happy group, 47%, and the not too happy group, 42%. They tend to say belief in God is important, the Wall Street Journal reported, of the very happy group. Two-thirds describe themselves as very or moderately religious, compared with less than half of adults overall. Now, there are a lot of people who think that being a Christian and following the Bible as a barrier to enjoying this life that we have here. They view it as just a list of rules about everything that they want to do, but they're going to miss out on if they follow what the Bible teaches. And the non-religious, the non-Christians, they get to enjoy all of those things. That's the perception that a lot of people have. But there are a few points that we need to remember. One is that God does want us to be happy if we properly define what we mean by that. Psalm 32, verse 11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart." When Paul wrote to the brethren in Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." That happiness that is talked about in those passages, and there are many others like that, that happiness or that ability to rejoice is found in the Lord and in the blessings that he has given us, not in the sinful ways that people often pursue in order to find some happiness or some enjoyment in this life. Because any so-called happiness that might be found from sin is only temporary. Remember what is said about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. It says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Notice when it said when it talked about sin, it referred to it as the passing pleasures of sin. The Bible does not deny the fact that sin may be pleasurable in the moment or for a temporary period of time, but it is passing. It is fleeting. It does not last. And so when we think about this happiness that we could enjoy here in this life, a lack of happiness, what that really comes down to is a lack of direction or purpose, that we don't know where we're going, we don't know why we're here. And so people have this sense of there's something missing from their life, and that leads to unhappiness, it leads to depression. This is why those who do not believe in God are more likely to be unhappy, or less likely to say that they are very happy. The wise man described his pursuit of happiness or meaning apart from God in this way over in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, where he said, "All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun." The wise man there was the king over Israel, and he was able to pursue and acquire for himself anything that he wanted. But all of it, he realized, was ultimately meaningless. Everything in this life, apart from God, when we forget him, everything is ultimately meaningless. It's all vanity and striving after the wind. But when we follow God's way, when we recognize that he is there and we have a purpose in him, we can have peace of mind. Proverbs 3, 23 and 24 says that then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. When we recognize God and his wisdom, because that's what that verse is talking about, we follow the wisdom of God, we will be able to sleep securely. We will have peace of mind. So believing in God allows one to enjoy greater happiness in this life. And more importantly, faithfully serving God will allow one to enjoy eternal happiness in heaven after this life is over. Now, that article also went on to talk about marriage contributing to one being very happy, which is another blessing from God, as he instituted marriage in the beginning and gave it as a blessing for us. It also mentioned community as being part of this, which we have as members of a local church, also by the Lord's design. So you can check out that article and read more about what was reported on all of that in the show notes. And there's also some other links related to this topic that we've just talked about just now. But now for our second story. Less than half of born-again Christians believe Jesus lived sinless life on earth. From the Christian Post, since the COVID-19 pandemic began in 2020, fewer born-again Christians now say that Jesus lived a sinless life during his time on earth, and church attendance has dropped by some 15 million people weekly, a new study from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University shows. The findings came from the American Worldview Inventory 2023, an annual tracking survey of the worldview of U.S. adults involving 2,000 people from across the country and conducted under the supervision of George Barna, Director of Research at the Cultural Research Center. While born-again Christians make up about one-third of all U.S. adults and are considered the backbone of local church activity because of their higher level of commitment to the Christian faith, the study shows that between 2020 and 2023, the share of those who say they believe Jesus did not commit sins during his lifetime on earth fell from 58% to 44%. Now, we're not going to get into how the term born-again Christian is used in this poll. Instead, I just want to focus on the fact that among those who claim to be Christians, and these, as was pointed out in the article, are described as the backbone of what they termed as the church, but these ones who claim to be Christians and are religious and are involved in churches all across the country, it's gotten to the point where a majority of them in the U.S. believe that Jesus sinned while he was here on the earth. Not only is that contrary to what the Bible teaches, but that belief completely undermines our hope in Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Peter said that Jesus committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. And when he said that, he was actually quoting from Isaiah 53 and verse 9. So this was prophesied about, that this was said, Jesus, when he comes, he is not going to commit a sin. And Jesus' sinlessness proved that he was the Son of God. Because John said over in 1 John 1 and verse 5 that this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If Jesus is God in the flesh, if he is the Son of God, and God is light and there is no darkness at all in him, then he could not have committed a sin. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 29 that he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. He always did the things that were pleasing to the Father in heaven. In other words, he did not commit a sin. And if Jesus had committed a sin, then he could not have made an acceptable sacrifice for us on the cross. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 7:26, it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, referring to Jesus, who is holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He was not a sinner himself. He was separated from sinners. That was necessary for him to make that atonement sacrifice for us. Later in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, it says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If Jesus offered himself on the cross, but rather than being without blemish, meaning without sin, but he committed sin, well then his sacrifice would not be able to cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. His sacrifice on the cross would not really be a sacrifice. It would just be a death, just like the thieves on either side of him died on the cross, on their own crosses. It would have been no different with Jesus. But because he was sinless, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth, he was holy, innocent, undefiled, and separated from sinners. Because of that, his death on the cross was able to make atonement for our sins and was able to give us hope. So if Jesus had sinned, he could not have been the Son of God, and he could not have died on the cross for our sins and provide us with any hope. Now, interestingly, this shift in views on Jesus corresponded to a drop in people attending church services. That article stated that since 2020, church attendance had dropped by some 15 million people weekly. That's not a coincidence. One of the benefits of regular assembling with the church is to ground Christians in the truth so that they do not drift away from it, to use the language of Hebrews 2 and verse 1. When we start to slip in our attendance, where we're not going to the assemblies of the church or the classes that are offered or the meetings that are held, but we are just drifting away from that, then our conviction of the truth and the strength of our faith will also begin to slip. The third story we're going to talk about here today. Researcher discovers fragment of 1,750-year-old translation of Gospel of Matthew. From FaithWire, a researcher at the Austrian Academy of Sciences has discovered what scientists say is a fragment of the oldest writing of the text of Matthew from the Bible's New Testament. The biblical texts have been hidden underneath other writing on an ancient piece of parchment. About 1,300 years ago, a scribe in Palestine took a book of the Gospels inscribed with a Syriac text and erased it. Parchment was scarce in the desert in the Middle Ages, so manuscripts were often erased and reused, the Academy, also known as OEAW, explained in a recent post on its website. Medievalist Gregory Kessel, one of the members of the OEAW research team, used ultraviolet photography to reveal the ancient transcription, which was located underneath three layers of text. It turns out Kessel discovered one of the earliest translations of the Gospels, made in the 3rd century and copied in the 6th century, on individual surviving pages of the manuscript, the OAAW said. The team study announcing the find was published last month in the journal New Testament Studies. The study includes the translation of Matthew 11:30 to Matthew 12:26 that originally translated into the Old Syriac translations more than a millennium ago. There's not much more I want to say about that story, but I wanted to share it in order to remind all of us of the vast manuscript evidence that exists for the New Testament. A few months ago, I participated in a video discussion about how we can know that the Bible is accurate. And in that discussion, we talked about the fact that there are over 5,600 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament in existence today, far more than any other ancient text. In fact, 9 times more than the second most preserved ancient text that we have. There are over 19,000 manuscripts in Syriac and Latin, Coptic, and Aramaic languages, making a total of over 24,000 New Testament manuscripts. Many people want to question the accuracy of the Bible, yet there is overwhelming evidence that it is accurate, that we can trust what has been preserved for us today. And I'll link to that discussion that I mentioned that I was involved in the show notes if you want to check out more on this topic. But we can trust the Bible. And stories like this show us that they are finding more evidence all of the time that we can trust what we have in our Bibles today. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the stories we talked about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/042723. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or to share it with others who would be interested in what we've talked about here today, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel now. So if you prefer the video to the audio, then that option is available to you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we're posting. We just started a Bible study series on the book of Acts. We've already posted Acts chapter 1, the study from that chapter. So if you subscribe to the channel, you'll not only get the videos, these videos that we're posting here with the podcast, but also videos like that one where we go through the Bible and study it together. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, please send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.